Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit any of the theme parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties, contact David's at dvcrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks or anywhere in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And last but not least, American Tourist Travel. Let us book all your travel needs, especially Disney. You can find us at americantouristtravelagency.com. Now come on, guys, let's hop on the train and head over to the pub.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
I'm joined as always by my good buddy Dan. Hey Dan, pull up that stool.
Hey, good morning, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And we're also joined by John Peters. Your stool's all cleaned and ready for you. Hop on, John. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Hey, what's going on, guys?
We're chilling. I would say the weather is chilly, but I don't want to get screamed at for talking about cold weather again on the show. I mean, we can't please everybody, Dan. You know what I'm saying? I just figured we'd start the show off. We talk about weather. And, you know, it's cold, bad. We got friends that live in Hawaii that don't want to hear us complain about how cold it is no more. Do you believe this?
Yeah. I live vicariously through listeners that live down south and out west and other places that are a lot warmer than where it is where you and I are, Doug. Yeah, we get our, 6 to 8 weeks of summer a year, and other than that, we're usually complaining about snow, leaves, rain, something. It's always something up here, it seems.
I just want to let you all in on a little secret. I'm from New Jersey. I'm going to piss and moan. It's what I do. And I am going to repeat myself over and over again. It's just what we do here in New Jersey.
That's the charm of our show.
Exactly. No, but, you know, let the weather break and be nice, and I'll start complaining about the heat in a little bit. But, and you don't, I mean, really, though, how often do I complain about that?
When you do, you usually say, if it's going to be this hot, I could just as soon be in Florida. So.
Exactly. But, you know, it's going down to 40 degrees tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
I mean, yeah. So, it's already.
We're in that shoulder time where I don't know how to dress in the morning. You know, you go out, you need a coat or a sweatshirt, and by, you know, noon, 1 o'clock, you're in t-shirt. And then when you go home, it's cold again. It's, you know, it's crazy.
Well, it's one of those days tomorrow where everybody might think I'm crazy, but what I do for a living with the construction and everything, we go in these cement buildings, the ground's freezing cold, and it's damp when it's like this. So tomorrow, like, you'll need long johns in the morning. And in the afternoon, you're sweating to death because of it.
Yeah.
But you don't want to kneel on cement with thin pants all day. You know what I'm saying? It's like this time of the year where it stinks. So I'm sorry I'm talking about cold weather again. I apologize, but you're going to have to deal with it.
And you know, the cement, it kind of conducts the cold, if you will. So it'll get cold. And then even if it warms up during the day, to your point, if you sit or kneel on that cement, that cold just kind of leaches right out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that nasty time of the year. I mean, it's just crazy. We had 86 degrees, 88 degrees one day. We broke a record. We were in the high 70s. Now all of a sudden we're dropping to the 40s and 50s for the whole week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and that's coming to you.
Yeah, whatever you get, you pass on to me. So I know what's coming my way a day or two later.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in the 40s at night and 50s during the day, Dan. So look out.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to go get on my mower today. I'm going to put my little wool cap on so I'm on the grass. But and speaking about under the weather, our buddy Dave Koch was under the weather. So we just want to put it out there, buddy. Even though we pick on you, we hope you feel better. Get better, buddy. And we'll get you on the show soon to yell at you.
Yeah. Hope all goes well. And you're on the mend soon.
Yeah, he looks like he's going to be fine, but he was in my area, and he got a little under the weather, had to go to the hospital. So, Dave, I had nothing to do with it, even though you're in the Philadelphia area. I wish you no harm, buddy.
Doug sent a curse at him or something.
No Philly curse. But, no, we hope you feel better, buddy. We're thinking of you. So, hopefully you get better and you wake up and you get a nice iced Joffrey's coffee and make your day. And then book DVC by resale. You guys can go on a trip. So, but anyway, anything new with you guys?
No. Just yesterday I went down to Foxwoods, down to Connecticut, and did a little – I made a deposit with the one-armed bandit, and I came back home.
And the one-armed bandit won again, right?
Yeah, it's funny how that works, you know. It's almost like they set you up and give you – a couple little small early wins to get you, you know, a little excited. And then, you know, 80, 100 bucks later, you walk out shrugging your shoulders saying, what happened?
Yeah. I remember back in the day, we used to like it when the casinos first opened when I was younger in my early, they were open before that. They came in the 70s. But when I was younger and could go down there, you know, 20 years ago, they would have the $2 blackjack tables and the $5 blackjack tables. Now you can't touch anything under a 10 or a 20. So on the weekends, it's like $20. So you sit down with 100 bucks, you could be done in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it's no
fun.
You
get five chips, and you're done. That's what I like about Foxwoods. They still have the $1 and $2 and $5 tables, even on the weekends. So, you know, little ham and eggers like myself can play blackjack for a little while. It's fun, but I know what you mean. Some of the, you know, obviously they want you to play as much money as possible, but, you know, I don't expect to win, but I do like to play and win enough so that I can keep playing. It's kind of fun.
Well, if you go down with 100 bucks and you're at a $2 or $5 table and you want to decide to play a couple extra dollars, that's your decision. You're sitting down with a 20s. It's not fun. But if you can go $1, $2 tables, you could play all day. And if you lose your money, at least you felt like you're entertained. You had fun playing cards.
Right. Because if you put the 100 bucks away and you say, look, this is my money out for the night, even if you lose it, and you, if you got 4 or 5 hours of enjoyment, you know, entertainment, it's just like if you went out to dinner and the movies or something, you know, and that's how you can control it. As we all know, that's where people get in trouble when they hit the ATM and they're, you know, taking money they shouldn't, and, you know what happens then.
Yeah, we would lock the ATM card in the car. No, I'm just kidding, but I've never had that problem. Like, when we go down, gambling's never been my thing. I always like to play poker with the family. I'm a really good poker player. And we used to even have a great game. I don't know if you guys ever heard about it. It was called Pulper. And we play it with our friends, which made it good. You'd each put $25 in for chips. And you would set a time limit, say a three-hour time limit. And for those 3 hours, you would play. And if you lost all your money, you were still in the hand, but you couldn't raise. But this way, the most you could possibly lose is $25. But somebody could still win serious money.
Yeah, that makes it interesting.
And it would make it nice, group of buddies hanging out for the night. Or you can make a $50 limit. Whatever the limit is, you just make it. And we've even played a $100 limit with the guys. But the point of it is you're playing for the 3 hours. Nobody's out. After you lose your hunter, you're there for 3 hours. You had a good time with your buddies, and nobody really got hurt. And then somebody could still win $400 or $500 and have a nice night. So, it was a good way we enjoyed doing it. But when it got to the point where the casinos were bad on the weekends, whatever I had allotted, the $100 or $200 to spend, I would just walk right over to roulette and put the money right on red or black and call it a night. Because it was a lot easier.
It's the same thing. It saves time, right? It just accelerates the whole thing. You're either going to walk out with a big win or you're going to lose everything, which is where you would have ended up if you played for 3 hours anyways.
And I bet you probably, Dennis, no lie, my friends used to laugh at me because I would play during the week when the tables were low, but not on the weekends when they were high because, like I said, I just didn't agree with the $20. If I want to bet $20, it should be my decision, not yours.
Right. Right.
But I bet you when I started doing that red or black, I'd put my 200 down, and I bet you I went 90% of the time. And I was not a dummy. I would walk right away. I would head right to the bar and start talking to the women. Yeah, because that's back when I was single. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have the time to – I didn't want to get – I had more fun dancing and hanging in the club than I would going to throw my money at the bar. I mean, at the chips. I mean, at the blackjack table all day.
Right, right. Yeah, I played a little roulette yesterday, and that's exactly what I was doing, just playing red or black. And, you know, it's one of those things. You got to bet money to make money. And, you know, I was up, I was down, I was up, I was down. But, you know, it killed some time for a couple hours. I kind of like it. But, you know, to me, to pick a number, I mean, you know, 17, you know, what are the chances of it coming out? I don't know what the odds are. I know they know what the odds are, but they're not that great. So,
no.
You know, if it's like anything else, in moderation, you can have some fun. And that's what I do. Usually we go down maybe once every 3 months or so. We'll take a ride down and just a day trip. We don't even stay over. And, you know, a couple $100. And if we win, we win. We lose, we lose. But we have fun.
You know what annoys me, too, is they have the roulette tables here in AC, a lot of them now, are all computerized.
What fun is that? Yeah.
I can stay home and play if you're going to do that. The interaction with the dealer and that's the fun of it. I mean,
everything's computerized now. You're right, Doug.
Yeah, because you play roulette and you would also play craps. And the whole interaction of the table is what makes it a night out. I mean, I'm sorry, Dad.
No, I was just going to say, even the saying one-armed bandit, I mean, they're all buttons now. There's no, you know, if you talk to somebody that's, you know, 18, 20 years old and you say one-armed bandit, they won't know what you're talking about.
No, and half the fun was listening to the change hitting in the change drawer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you had a win and the money clinking, ding, 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 comes down, now you're just a ticket prints out, you know. It's a lot less, I don't know, tactile, if you will.
Exactly. The only thing I don't miss is all the smoke in there. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. They've done well. I mean, at least Oxwoods. They still have smoking casinos, but they have them big air eaters where, I mean, there's like a wind tunnel coming through there. They do a good job at least at Foxwoods. Even if somebody's smoking right next to you, it literally sucks it straight up in the air.
Yeah, we wanted to go. Michael Simon's Angelino's opened up at the restaurant I worked on at the Regatta last night. It was a grand opening, but we were thinking about heading down just to people watch because we couldn't get reservations, if you follow me. It's been booked since forever. But we thought about it, but the weather was just so nasty and crazy around here. It rained for like 3 straight days. Sorry to tell you that, John.
Yeah, that'd be nice if we had some of that.
Yeah, I know. You need it bad. But, yeah, that opened up down the Regatta on Michael Simon, so we're going to try it out one of these days and get down there. And speaking of good restaurants, did you see our friend Judith said she's headed to Victory?
Yeah, I guess she's got some relatives out in Pennsylvania, and she's heading down there this summer, or out there, I should say. So, she's going to be on the hunt for some good old Victory beer.
Yeah, well, remember our good buddy Bill was on, the co-founder, and thanks again, Bill, for doing that. You know, it was a great – we enjoyed having you in. You're welcome anytime you want to come back on the show. And I remember he was telling me about the cream ale, the coffee flavor?
Yeah, breakfast beer.
Yeah, the breakfast beer. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I wish I had one of those. I could go for one of those right now.
I'll tell you what, it's a good – it would probably be a great cure for a hangover next morning.
Yeah, all right.
Bite the head that bit you, or the dog that bit you, you know. But I'll tell you what, I bought it yesterday. We got a 6-pack of it yesterday. And my wife, and she tried a couple sips. She liked it. And I'll tell you what, it's 100% black coffee finish at the end. Wow. You can taste the coffee 100%. I mean, I think it would be really, really good in a nice, really frosty glass. During the summer, sitting out on the deck.
That does sound good. That does sound good. So. Yeah, I mean, not only Judith, but I mean, I was kind of not skeptical, but I was wondering how the Victory podcast would play out there with our listeners, and it seemed to be pretty popular. I mean, we always try to tie everything back to Disney, obviously. We're a Disney podcast, but, you know, with the Golden Monkey being served down there at the Daiwa Bar and other locations, and having Bill on, and being that we're a pub, it all kind of went together, and I thought it was a pretty good show, and Bill had, you know, a lot of technical information about the beer, and a lot of it went over my head, but it was interesting to hear. And I think that was a good show, and I hope the listeners did enjoy something a little bit different.
Yeah, I know John enjoyed the show.
Absolutely. I got to talk to a beer master. So, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to get you. You'll have to try that. What do you think, John? You think you'll like the beer finish or not? I mean, the coffee finish? I know you'll like the beer finish.
I like the beer finish. Yes, I will. The coffee finish, yeah. I'm a big fan of stouts, Guinness, and some other stouts like that that have some coffee taste in them. So I'm pretty sure, even though this is a lighter one, I'm pretty sure I'd like it. And it's just a matter of trying to find any of the victory around here. I think I found four, and none of them are the ones that you've been recommending. So,
well, you need to go on the website, like Dan said.
Yeah, you go on that beer finder, John. I don't know if I told you, but if you go in your app store for on your iPhone, Victory has that beer finder as an app, a free app. You can download it and just put in your zip code, and it'll show you all the stores in your vicinity from anywhere from 5 miles to 50 miles where you can get it. So you should download that app.
All right. I'll give that a shot.
And a good friend, Jim Tucker, I think, down in Alabama, he tweeted a couple of pictures of all kinds of Victory beer in his local establishment, and he looks like he picks them up as well. And I think he found like 9 or 10 different beers that Victory has down at his store in Alabama. So that was cool to see as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we had all kind of action. I mean, our buddy Pat's looking for him now. I mean, we got everybody out on the victory hunt right now. It's a good thing. It's a great beer. I mean, the coffee one is good. It's not that weak either, John. I think it's like 6.8, which that's a decent alcohol by volume. It's not V12, but it's still a decent.
Yeah, that V12 sounds a little scary. So.
Yeah. Let's be thankful it's not V12. Not that it's not good beer. It's just potent stuff.
That's a sipper. That's a sipper.
Yes.
Well, that's one, like he said, you crack it amongst three or four of you.
Yeah.
That was my mistake.
Yeah, exactly.
Dennis looked at it and said, I got this.
Yeah, but you know, me, you, Dad, and the four of us are sitting down. We grab one of those bottles, get four glasses out.
Yes.
It'll be a nice finishing beer for the night. You know what I'm
saying? I'd almost like to drink that, like John was suggesting, as a, you know, sipping that and have something else, you know, as a chaser, if you will. And, you know, kind of like a shot in a beer.
Chaser with a Hellas.
I mean, this would be, yeah.
A beer and a beer.
Yeah. That's
yeah, something a lot lighter. Yeah.
That's how I'm going to attack that next time.
But, yeah, the four of us could enjoy one of them. We get together. We'll have a good time. And, you know, I mean, a lot of our friends reached out to us. It was really cool to see, and they were great. He was a great guest. We were happy to have him on. We want to thank Cameron for, you know, making that all happen. So it was a good show, and we're looking forward to doing more with Victory in the future.
Yep. Good people over there.
So at the very least, we got good beer out of it then.
Yeah. Hey, I got turned on to you know, many beers that I never would have tried in a million years, and you know, I've found some ones that I really like. So if only that was a benefit of doing the show, just being exposed to these different types of beer and ales and stouts and all that good stuff.
Well, that beer app, what's the beer app you got me on, Tapped or whatever?
Untapped.
Untapped. I'm an alcoholic, if you listen to that.
you weren't supposed to log all the beers you ever tried in your life at one time. So.
Yeah, but I thought it was asking you, like, I'm going through there to try to put in what I've had. You know what I'm saying, Dennis? So I'm putting in what I've had. I'm trying to fill out my beer, you know, my taps. Yeah, my whole profile. Next thing I know, the app's calling me an alcoholic. You've been all over the world today drinking, buddy.
Right. Yeah, I understand. You were trying to catch up and kind of get to a point where everything you could remember ever trying is in there, but it took it as you were actually drinking all these beers in real time.
Exactly, which is very, very sad. But anyway, the thing of it, and the other thing is since we've started talking about John, I blame you.
And all my fault.
I've tried more beers in the past year than I have in my entire life because of you. Telling me it all started with the LeFin. You started me down a bad, bad road. I was a happy man to come home to my Peroni or my Coors Light or my Molson Canadian. I was very happy until you started. Did you try this? Did you try that? I mean,
How much you like that Hellas. How much you like that Hellas. So.
Exactly. My local liquor store calls me dog when I walk in now. They didn't even know who the heck I was a year ago. Now it's like, dog!
Yeah.
The victory cooler's over there, buddy. We put Hellas in it for you. You know, when they start putting beer in the cooler for you, you know you got a problem.
Yep.
It ain't that bad. I'm only kidding, guys. But you know what I'm saying. It's nice. I've tried – in the last few months, I've actually, with the beer flights and since Food and Wine, I've tried more different flavors of beers than I can ever remember. And it's been good. There's been some really good ones and some really bad ones, I can tell you that.
Well, that's why they make so many flavors, right? If everyone liked the same thing, it would be a boring world. And I was going to say, between your coffee intake and beer intake, you've done a 180 in both sectors in the last year. I mean, you were a non-coffee drinker, and you pretty much stuck to your Peronis and Coors Light, and now look at you.
Yeah, now I got issues.
Yeah,
that I didn't,
well, you
different
had
ones
issues going in.
Yeah, more than usual.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm enjoying some things. This morning I had my Starbucks, which is very good, my cinnamon Starbucks, which you guys pick on me for, but hey, I like it.
Frou-frou coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, wah. But anyway, the other thing is our friends from the Happiest Vlog, we want to wish them happy anniversary. They're back down in the world. They're there to the 15th, so happy anniversary,
nice.
Jen and Scott.
Be getting happy a lot of vlogs from them.
Oh, yeah, they're already on Snapchat, so I mean, my phone's been blowing up with their Snapchat. So.
What's that for them, one year?
Yeah, 1 year anniversary, yep.
Yeah, all four of us can look back on that and go, oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. If they only know what they got ahead of them.
Yes. Yeah. Well, hopefully they stay as happy as they are now for the next 50 years. You know.
Well, yeah, that should be the goal, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And then some, hopefully. But yep. Happy anniversary, guys. Hope you guys get to spend every year in Disney World.
Yes.
Yeah, they're good people, so I wish them nothing but the best. And
sure.
I was just telling you, Dan, the other day, you know that fuel rod I have?
Yeah,
they
yeah.
actually have a dispenser now in the area where I did this promenade area, kind of like it's a poor man's version of Disney Springs in our area a couple years ago. Well, me and my wife were over there walking because they have a tool outlet. In this thing, what it is, it's really cool. Is you know all the Ridgid tools, Ridgid and Ryobi from Home Depot.
Yeah,
this is an outlet.
Line, yeah.
Yeah, this is the outlet center where they rebuild all these tools, and then they also sell new ones. Like, and a perfect example, a dual drill set, the drill and the driver at Depot was $179 for the combo kit. Brand new, same exact set at this outlet store was $139.
Wow. And they're refurbished? Is that what you're saying?
No, these ones are brand new. The refurbished ones I could have got for $129, which was only $10 cheaper.
Right.
So it's you might as well just buy the new ones because the only difference is the new ones are only guaranteed. The batteries are guaranteed for life if you send them in through the new ones, and the other ones are guaranteed for a year. But make a long story short, my good buddy of mine, I let him borrow my drill working down the shore, my Ridgid drill, and he burned out both my batteries, taking out a motor on his boat.
Oh.
And then the nice guy went back to Florida. He's the Florida boy from the Keys, and I had to go out and get new batteries for work. So the new batteries alone were $140. You can get a brand new drill and a brand new driver for $139. So what would you buy?
Yeah, I think you went the right way and got a new drill.
But anyway, as we were over there, we walked around and we were having a good night. And then all of a sudden, the fuel rod that I got in Disney World was also right. There was a brand new dispenser right inside the food court.
Oh, nice.
So
how many do they have, Doug? Like, can you tell or is it unseen? Like you got to.
What, inside the machine?
Yeah.
The machine's kind of like an ATM machine, kind of like you
okay.
have the money area where you pay to blah, blah, blah to get your new one. But what it has is for an old one, when you buy the fuel rod, it actually has a barcode on it. So
all
if
right.
you want to exchange it, you go up and it has like a reader. Like, know how it reads to scan the barcode to buy groceries?
Yep.
It's the same thing. It'll read the barcode. It'll say slide it in. You put it in and then it'll take that one. And then a brand new one comes out the bottom fully charged.
It almost sounds like when you rent from Redbox or something like that, right? So you
yes.
turn them back in,
yeah.
turn
hey.
In your movies and get a new one. Too.
Yeah, exactly, except for this is yours for life. Like, the weird part of me is I could exchange mine in there for a new one, but I got mine at Disney World, so now it's going to be very hard for me to get rid of it anywhere but Disney World.
Right.
But the thing right. is you know, I'm a weirdo like that. I'm sentimental as far as crap like that. It's my Disney World fuel ride. So, and I bought it, and I bought it on Main Street.
If you're in New Jersey, chances are that the one that you're getting in there has probably been charged from somebody else and dropped off there from Disney World too. Yeah. So, you know what I mean?
There's a chance. But what I'll do is, even if I do, because what's great about them is they charge just like your Bluetooth. Anything Bluetooth or anything like that, they will recharge. You can recharge them at home too. So it isn't like the only way they charge is through the fuel rod machine. So I recharge mine all the time. Last night, I was watching a show, and my wife wanted to watch something on the iPad, and the iPad was almost dead. So I just handed her the fuel rod, and she's charging the iPad as she's watching it. So you don't have to worry about a cord running from the wall. Like, she just laid the fuel rod in bed, and she can move just like the iPad wasn't even charging, if you follow me.
Right.
So they are phenomenal, and the difference is you can exchange these in, I think, and don't quote me on this, guys. I'm just going off the top of my head from what I remember. I think the fuel rod at Disney World was like $28 or $30, somewhere in that range.
Yeah,
but
I know we covered this a while, and that price sounds about right, Doug, in and around there.
Yeah, and I bought another one that's almost identical to it. The fuel rod is white with the barcodes on it. And the one I bought at Target was it's the same exact size. If you held them in your hand with your eyes closed, you wouldn't know which one was which.
Right.
But the one I had, the other one is black. But that one is not, if it dies, it's on me. Where the fuel rod, if it dies, you just exchange it. So it's basically, as long as fuel rod's in business, it's guaranteed. So it's worth the extra $5 or $5, $4 or $5.
And Doug, can you give some kind of sense of how many charges you get? Like, would you get 3 or 4 cell phone charges if they were empty, or can you kind of put some sort of,
I get,
you know,
with my end during the day, and I've always charged it afterwards. I haven't had to do any more than this, but it charges my phone 2 times, 2 full times. I get 2 charges out, plus it charges my Bluetooth.
I mean, that's perfect for walking around the parks or something like that. I mean, we've all been there, and, you know, especially you and me. Well, you too, John. We take so many pictures and stuff. It doesn't take long to burn your battery out, and there's nothing like, you know, you want to have your phone available in case there's an emergency or something. So, you know, something like that is almost – it's critical nowadays, at least it is for me. So something that I could charge my phone up a couple of times, or my wife's phone and my phone, that would be perfect during the day. And you're saying if you have a cord with you, if you have dinner or lunch or something, you could always plug it in and recharge it as well, right?
This is what I do. I end up – because I never let my phone, usually if I have it on me, go past 50%. Because I'm the same way with my gas tank in my car. Half tank is empty to me. Because I always like to try to keep it full. And this way, if you're stuck in traffic or whatever, with all the traveling I do, I'm covered, if that makes sense. So when my phone hits 50, 48%, I plug it in. But what the thing is so light, I bring the cord with me. You know how you have your side clip for your phone?
Yep.
I'll hook the cord to the phone and drop the fuel rod in my back pocket.
Okay.
And it's charging as you're walking around. And if you want to take a picture, the cord's long enough where you can just take the rod out and take the pictures while you're holding the fuel rod. Or you can disconnect it and then plug it back in when you hook it back on your side strap. But it's so light that you don't even know it's in your back pocket. It's like having a lighter version of a roll of quarters.
Right. And the thing that not that I can't wrap my head around it, but what you're saying is, so if you didn't bring your cord and you exhausted your 2 chargers, as long as you can get to a fuel rod machine or whatever you call them, you could just exchange that one and it wouldn't cost you anything. You'd just get a fully charged new one.
Yes, exactly.
So really, you're covered that way too. Again, providing you're within the vicinity of a a fuel rod machine.
Well, the cool thing too, when you initially buy this fuel rod, unlike the one I bought at Target, the thing that comes with the fuel rod is also charging cords.
Oh, okay.
So if you
forgot
your, yes, it has one. Well, it has two. The one I got had a couple. It has one for the Android and one for the iPhone.
The two most popular, which makes sense.
So, and that's what it comes with. So if you're getting 2 cords with it, so you forgot your cord back at the room. Like we always talk about, time is money. The hour it takes you to go to and from with the Disney transportation, you might as well just buy a fuel rod with the cord.
Right.
You know,
now,
so.
Yeah, I'm sorry for all the questions, but I'm just trying to wrap my head
around
this.
No, and let me put this out here. These guys aren't sponsors of ours or anything. We're just talking
about
it.
Right. So. This is a great product, though. But so how do you know where the locations are? Like, you know, are they – I mean, you say there's some in Florida, in Disney World, but I mean, like all over the country. Is there a website or something where you can find out where the locations are?
I think there is, Dan. I've never really, really looked into where they were. Okay. I just stumbled upon this one. That's what made me bring it up again. Now, I know the one at the Magic Kingdom is right next to Tony's there in the square. I mean, in the building right next to Tony's. What's that? Convention?
Where the Mickey Mouse Review is. Where
City Hall.
Yeah, Convention Hall. I was saying City Hall. It's right in there in the back. You walk in. It's to the – you can't – there's actually two machines in there. There's two machines in there. There's one in every park. And so you can exchange. I mean, that's the cool thing. And the thing of it is what I really liked about it is I went to the Emporium and was talking about I was asking the guy for a charger. And the one nice gentleman goes, you might want to go over and buy a fuel rod. Because the one that they had there was like $40-$50. And it wasn't as good as – it was no better. And then he was telling me about how it's exchangeable because he got one. So that's how I ended up finding it. I didn't even know that existed.
See, that's what I want to do up here. I'll go on the site after the show, but I want to see if I can buy one up here in Massachusetts and then bring it with me when I go down and then do what you did or what you're saying you can do. You know, I wouldn't even wait to get down there. I'm going to try to get one up here if they're available.
Yeah, the one in Epcot is in the you know, the two stores that are right there when you walk into World Showcase. You walk down from Future World, and there's two stores, one on the right, one on the left. I think it's in the store on the right. But that's perfect because most of the time when you're at Epcot, you're taking pictures around World Showcase. So you could use it on a whole trip and then stop in there and exchange it and get a fully charged one on your next trip around. So
yeah.
No,
yeah, that's pretty awesome.
They're a good product. So, guys, they're not a sponsor or whatever, but we're just doing this to try to help you out. I highly recommend them because I've had mine, and I've had no problem. I use it every single day at work. And I come home, and I recharge it at night before I go to bed to bring it to work with me the next day because I play – you know, I like to listen to myself on iTunes, so we listen to our show, and then I listen to Mickey Dudes and WDW Radio and BR – you know, I listen to all of our podcasts, so – and I even put, believe it or not, I'll do Peas and Carrots blog and a vlog, and I'll do a Happiest vlog. I'll listen to him in my ear sometimes.
Right.
You know,
just
let
the
it
audio.
Play on, yeah, listen to it play on my side. So.
Yeah.
But.
Good idea.
So that's about all the crazy stuff we have for now, unless I think there's something else. Do you want to go on and talk about some of the news going on in the world? Because I know transportation's coming up, so before I got into that, I'd wait for you to say it.
Okay. Yeah, not a whole lot happening this week, but a few things we can share with the listeners. So Magic Kingdom's new nightly fireworks show, Happily Ever After, is just a week away from its debut on May 12th, which is today the 7th, so it's even less than a week now. Disney released a sneak preview of the show, including an in-park footage of a recent full rehearsal and a first look at the new lasers installed for the show. Doug, I assume you've watched this already, as you watch every single video that comes out.
I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen the whole thing, and I have to watch it because of this week has been absolutely a crazy week, and you guys know that I've been doing 18 things this week for the show and for my normal job. It's been a crazy week, so I didn't get to watch all the videos I wanted to. But what I've seen so far. They're not Disney won't disappoint you. It's going to be a great show. I know you're going to miss Wishes, and I don't want to tell anybody that they're wrong if they do, because I know I'm going to be on the top of the rooftops. I'm going to be climbing the Eiffel Tower in France, not the Eiffel Tower, but I will be climbing that tower and screaming from that when they take Illuminations and change it. So I'm not going to say anybody shouldn't cry about Wishes going away.
That's the way I'm looking at it. Wishes, I enjoyed Wishes, and I know we covered this, and I think John shared his experiences at the Pauly watching it from there, and myself over at the Cali Grill, and it's a nice show. It's a Disney show. You know, it's got its, heartfelt parts in the middle, and then all the excitement and all that. And I think I agree with you. Whatever this new show is, I'm sure it'll hit all of those emotions, and it'll be a fine Disney show. I'm expecting nothing less than that.
No, I it's going to be phenomenal. I mean, even the Star Wars show is great. Did you hear about that too, by the way? John, with everything going on with the fires, that they've had problems with the Star Wars show with little brush fires around the parks?
Yeah. For some reason, when they shoot off the fireworks at Hollywood Studios, they have a tendency to end up with more problems than they do at any of the other parks. So, yeah, it's not surprising. And as dry as it is here, at least a little bit's going to start a fire up. So,
from what I've been hearing, too, it has something to do with they have to clear more brush out of there. They have to get rid of more. The way they're shot, there's areas that is too green still.
Yeah, and it's kind of surprising because I don't know if you guys have ever made the spin around behind Magic Kingdom, but you can, I think you can get back there without being a cast member, but there's a road that goes behind the Magic Kingdom, and you pass a large area where the fireworks are shot off from there, and you would think that would have more problems there because it's actually in a wooded area. So I'm not sure where they fire them off from Hollywood Studios, but obviously they're having some problems where they're landing at, I guess, not where they're taking off at. So.
No, but anyway, that is a really good show, and I think the nighttime spectaculars are just going to keep getting better and better. The only problem is we, as Disney nuts, we fall in love with this, what we fall in love with, and it's hard for us to let it go. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to do it.
Yep, sure is. Let's see what else we have here. Gardens of the Galaxy Volume 2 Meet and Greet now open at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Star-Lord and Groot are meeting daily and expected to appear through the end of the year. The Mona Meet and Greet was previously in this space and is speculated to be relocating to the Magic Kingdom. So, I've heard a lot about this movie. I still haven't seen the first one, but all accounts that I'm hearing is this is a very... popular and successful Volume 2. What do you think, John? Have you seen this yet?
I haven't seen it yet. I wanted to go this weekend, but maybe we'll try next weekend actually to see part two. But yeah, we're going to do the meet and greet because it's going to be Baby Groot from the end of the movie when at the meet and greet. And he's really cute. So I want to see him. And I guess Star-Lord would be okay, but it's the Baby Groot I want to run into. So, but Dennis, I can't believe you haven't seen this based on the soundtrack alone. I know you'd like it. I mean, it's music from when we were kids. So it's
oh, really?
So, oh, yeah. The soundtrack is all 70s, like, pop. So
rock, pop rock and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Is Guardians the original out on? It must be out on pay-per-view and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will make that commitment to the show. Before next Sunday's show, I will watch the original, and then I'll see if I can get myself out to the second one as well.
Now,
Not by next week.
Yeah. Do you have Netflix then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm not sure, but I think it was on Netflix, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Netflix tends. Yeah, it takes a while for stuff to get to Netflix. I mean, Netflix is good for older movies and stuff that's been out forever, but it doesn't do a very good job at having fairly recent movies. But I'll check, Doug.
Yeah, but they've been go look because they've been uploading a lot more Disney movies lately, a lot more.
Okay. All
so right. You might get lucky. I can't remember if it is, but take. I know it's on Stars, the original.
Right.
And I don't know. Do you have Stars?
No, I do not.
Okay, because I know it's on there because Disney and Stars, like, Stars gets – the only reason I keep Stars, even though there's a couple of shows that I do watch because I keep it, a series, but
right.
Disney, the reason I love Stars is and I keep it is because as soon as the movies are done, the first place they go is Stars before Netflix or Hulu or anywhere. Because Disney – the Stars has the detail with that. Oh, speaking of that, did you hear on networks – did you hear that it looks like ABC signing American Idol?
What do you mean signing American Idol?
American Idol was on Fox, and now it looks like it's coming to ABC.
Oh.
They're doing a reboot. Now, they got rid of it, and now they're going to own it, actually.
Yeah, that's kind of strange. They closed it down at the park, but you're saying they're going to buy the rights to it and be able to produce more shows or bring it back on TV? Is that what you're saying?
That's the article I read the other night. It's down to them and Fox, but everybody's reporting that ABC got it. So it looks, and they're looking to shoot it. As of right now, you know, Ryan Seacrest, the original, you know, they want him back is what they're saying. But it looks like it's going to reboot in spring of 2018. So it's only a year away.
Oh, I mean, it was pretty popular. I mean, I was sucked in. I watched it for many years. I kind of lost interest in it towards the end. But, I mean, for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, I was a loyal weekly watcher, and my whole family watched it. So, I mean, if they brought it back, I'm sure it'd do pretty well.
Yeah, I admit, watch it too, so.
Yeah, we were that horrible family that would just watch the first couple episodes because you wanted to see the bad people, the atrocious singers. And then once they pared it down, everybody got to Hollywood, we'd get bored because everybody's a good singer at this point. So,
yeah, see, and I'm just the opposite. I would get so PO'd at all them goofballs, like the Daniel Hung and Along or whatever his name was. And all those crazy – I just want to – see, I'm always weird like that too. Like even in football, I can't stand the celebration dances and all – I want the best. I just want to see the good stuff. I don't want to see all the idiots, and that's just how I am.
So, Doug, you would have been – if you were a giant Star Wars geek, if you were a big fan like I am, then you would have been the guy that was upset that they did the hyperspace hoopla where Darth Vader was, like, dancing to Michael Jackson songs and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you would have
just
hated that, right?
It would be – it would just bother me. It would be like putting General Patton in the same thing. You don't do that. You don't disrespect certain things.
Yeah, you're disrespecting, exactly. Even though I don't particularly like Star Wars, that kind of – made me cringe when
rubbed
I saw
you the wrong
that
way.
It just wasn't right.
It was controversial because while it was fun to watch, it definitely took away from Darth Vader being this menacing, horrible, you know, evil guy to actually see him dancing the Smooth Criminal. But
it's just like Mickey Mouse. You don't want to put him in situations or have him do things that are out of his character. You know what I mean? It's just not right.
Yep.
And sometimes, you know, how you run into a drawing from, you know, not an official Disney artist, but, you know, a good artist that, you know, might put a little sound caption, not a sound, but a caption above his head, you know, him saying things that you don't hear Mickey say, and it's just, I don't know, it's just not right.
Yeah, you don't want to see Mickey evil. Mickey's a good guy.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah, now, Grumpy and Donald, it's okay. I got evil shirts.
Right.
One of my favorite t-shirts, and it doesn't fit me at all, but my wife made me buy it. We bought it. Not she made me buy it, but, and I don't get it, but I wear it's a sacred shirt. It's called the one that says, I failed my anger management classes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it don't fit me at all, but it is my favorite shirt, one of my favorite shirts.
But that's why Disney made all them other characters. I mean, I remember reading years ago. I mean, that's why they developed Donald Duck, is because Donald can do things that Mickey wouldn't or shouldn't. And that's how the Disney artist or Walt was able to get out these other gags using other characters besides Mickey, because, you know, he wouldn't put Mickey in that situation because it would be so out of character. And that's why we got Angry Donald, if you will, where he can go crazy and talk under his breath and, you know, do things that Mickey would never, ever do.
I got such issues then where I got – speaking of my shirts, because I have – I mean, the one thing I will do is Disney does have quality in their shirts and all. I got this white – or this gray sweatshirt that has – know how you have the Garanimals? This one has just a little Mickey head on it. It's a gray sweatshirt with a blue Mickey head. It's probably 20 years old. I wear it to work. And it's still warm. It's nice. But around the sleeves at the bottom, the cuffs – it's a little roughed up. You know, like how Dale Earnhardt Dale Earnhardt likes his hat all scuffed up. This sweatshirt's all scuffed up. It has a couple paint stains and stuff in it. And I left it on the job site on Thursday, and I had a different job to be on Friday. And my boss, the guy who's running that job up there, thought I was insane because I made him go, because I left it on a different floor and I didn't want to lose it. He goes, that scruffy old sweatshirt, I'm telling you right now, Don, you better not lose that scruffy old sweatshirt, because that means the world to me, man. He goes, you're seriously worried about it? I said, Donnie, that better be back in my bag for Monday morning or there's going to be hell to pay on that job.
I thought you were going to say somebody cut it up for rags or something.
No. It'd be, well, he was joking with me. I called him because we were halfway home Thursday. I said, Don, my sweatshirt. He goes, what, that gray thing? I said, yeah, my sweatshirt. He goes, you got to get that for me on Friday when you get back there, because the two of us were up there together. And he goes, okay. So I called him at 9 in the morning to remind him on his break to go get my sweatshirt. He goes, the one the painter's wearing up there? I said, if that painter's wearing it, you got my permission to sock him one and take it off his body. And you can tell him it's from me. I'll take all penalties for it. And he started laughing. But I better have my sweat. That's all I'm worried about when I get there 6:30 tomorrow morning is getting my sweatshirt in my truck before anything else happens. As crazy as that sounds.
Oh, hey, you fall in love with your Disney clothes. I know what you mean. I have a bunch of, you know, pocket tees, I think I was telling you last week. And, yeah, they're just comfortable and, you know, not something you're going to wear out to dinner, but certainly, you know, weekend clothes. I got a lot of Disney stuff.
There's a ton of memories in them is what the deal is. Yeah. I remember where I bought every single one almost. It's crazy as it is, but...
Dennis, I guess that's the difference between you and me, because I would wear it to dinner.
I mean going out.
I take everything a little too far, though. But yeah,
not to Wendy's.
What's up next?
Let's see. Yeah, modified monorail routes in effect during late May. The Walt Disney World monorail system will be operating modified routes during the second half of May 2017. Dates for the modified routes are May 16th, 17th, 23rd, 24th, from 11:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. The resort monorail will travel between Disney's Polynesian Resort, Disney's Grand Floridian Resort, and the Magic Kingdom. It will not service the TTC or the Contemporary. The express monorail will make a stop at the Contemporary Resort in addition to its regular stops at the TTC and Magic Kingdom. So... I think this probably has to do with the construction over at the TTC that they have started, and it's obviously affecting the operation of the monorail. So if you're down there from the middle of May to the end of May, be aware of that you may have difficulty or have to use other modes of transportation to get where you want to get.
So, John, I got the letters on my Disney site that they're going to tell our guests to give discounts to anybody staying on the monorail loop. Didn't you get that email?
Yeah. Where is that?
I mean, it's such a crock. I mean, really, I mean, do you guys disagree with me that there should be something for this inconvenience?
Yeah, I mean, at minimum, they should make it abundantly clear, although I suspect that these dates kind of came up, not out of nowhere, but they didn't know what they were going to be. But I've always said, I think that part of the premium price you pay to stay on the monorail loop is the transportation, the monorail itself to Magic Kingdom and the other resorts that service the monorail loops. You know, to me, if you're not going to have full ability to utilize that, there should be a some sort of discount or some sort of... you know, they should give you something or make it right in some way. I do agree with that.
Yeah, because my reasoning is, and everybody might disagree with me or yell at me or whatever, but the beauty of the Wilderness Lodge and the Animal Kingdom Lodge and the Riverside is just as beautiful to me as the Poly, the Contemporary, or the Grand Floridian. That's just my opinion. And all three of those are a ton more money than the ones I just mentioned. The Grand Floridian, the Poly, and the Contemporary are all more money than staying at the Animal Kingdom or the Wilderness Lodge.
I was just going to say, Doug, I think, and part of that, forget the monorail, I mean, you're a stone's throw away from the most visited theme park in the world, the Magic Kingdom. So part of that is that proximity, I guess, from your resort. But go ahead.
One of the reasons you want to have them three resorts is so you can hop on the monorail to go to Epcot. Not just the Magic Kingdom, because you still – the boats. But my point is that's part of the beauty of it, that you actually get two parks for the monorail. Well, now you're not going to. Now, do you want to – you know what a pain – everybody talks about what a pain in the butt it is to get from the Animal Kingdom to any other park. What pain in the butt is it going to be to get from any of those resorts over to Epcot now?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume there's going to be additional, you know, dates like this where it's not going to be available, or it may not make its full route around the loop as this construction unfolds. So it isn't just going to be these few dates, I'm guessing. But at least in this batch, it does sound like the Epcot Express to Epcot won't be affected, or it'll be leaving, what did it say, from the Contemporary, or be making a stop at the Contemporary is what it said. But yeah, no, you're right, Doug.
I'm not trying to cry. Just give them something. My point is you're being inconvenienced. You're paying there's no more to pay than you pay for those resorts is my point.
You're paying top dollar you're saying.
Exactly. And the reason you're paying top dollar for those resorts is what you said is you're close to the Magic Kingdom. But the other part of that is the monorail. That's the cherry on top of the cake is that monorail.
Yeah, because think of it like this, Doug. Just take your average – well, John, you come in, you're a local, you're a day trader. I mean, whether you park at the Poly and use the monorail, you're not supposed to, but you may, or at the Contemporary for that matter. But just think of all the – getting in the Magic Kingdom parking lot and taking the tram, then transferring to the boat and going over. I mean, when you're staying at one of those resort loop hotels, I mean, the convenience, you just walk out the front door of your resort, you hop on, and, in less than 5 minutes, you're on Main Street USA. I mean, there's a value in that, and I get that. I mean, that is convenience to the max. I mean, I've never even stayed on a monorail loop resort. I've visited them many, many, many times, but I can't justify paying the money. But then again, I don't take the tram and the boat, and I know how to, skirt the system or whatever you want to say to be able to, do what I want to do. But if I was paying that money, I would expect that level of service because, you're paying what? Baseline $390, $410 and up.
You're DVC, Dan, and you don't use them because of sometimes the extra points in the time of the year and the availability. Yep. You're not even using your extra points. Now, imagine, Dan, you did use your extra points and you're told you can't use the monorail. Wouldn't you be pissed off?
Right. I would be, but the other side of
that is – it's not the end
is,
of the world, but it's just the point of it.
Right. We've said this before because I've had vacations like this. We love Riverside, and there's been not so much now because I'm on the show and, you're up to speed on all this stuff. But occasionally when I used to just be Joe, tourist, I would call and book whatever week we were going. And I always wanted either Oak Manor or Mangolia Bend or whatever the
Magnolia,
building is there.
Magnolia,
yeah. I wouldn't pay attention to pool closings and all that. I'm sure the information was available, but inevitably one trip we showed up and the pool that we requested was, drained, and they were, resurfacing the tile and stuff like that. It happens. Was it disappointing? Extremely. Did it ruin our vacation? No. We used an adjacent pool. We had to walk over a building or a building and a half, so it worked out. But I guess my point is, when you have in your mind it's going to be the perfect vacation, you wait a whole year or however long you waited and you get there, and when something is under construction or it's down or it's altered, like in this case with the monorail, it does kind of throw a wet blanket on you to the start of your week when you see that things aren't the way you thought they would be, I guess.
Yeah, it I get you with the pool and all, but and I agree with you on that. It would be a little nudge, but I've dealt with that myself before. The last couple trips ago, not the last one, a couple before that, we were over Alligator Bayou. They had pools under construction, but it was February, so I understood that because it was the time of year I was going to. So I got that. But with the monorail, especially with the way it pops up like this, last minute, blah, blah, blah. And again, like I even said with the Grand Floridian, I don't get – now you don't have the monorail to the TTC and you can't even walk over to the Magic Kingdom. Like, I don't get to this day why there's not a path. And I've said that a million times. But the point is you're going to be paying all this. I just feel bad that the last minute that you're – that's an inconvenience taking the bus. And maybe, Mom, and how do you know the buses, how frequent they're going to be? If you understand what I'm saying, over there.
Yeah, I mean, I've taken buses out of the Contemporary, and this is just my guess, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or right or whatever. But I think the fact that it's a monorail, resort loop or whatever, they don't run the buses as frequently to those resorts as they do some of the others, because I seem to remember waiting much, much longer times at the Contemporary waiting for a bus. I don't know where we were going, wherever it was, but I just get the sense that, the majority of the people, if they're going to Epcot or Magic Kingdom, obviously are taking the monorail. So I don't think they probably don't even offer a bus going to the Magic Kingdom. That'd be silly. Yeah. You can walk from the Contemporary.
Yeah.
But I think it was Epcot or down Disney Springs or something I was waiting for. I don't remember where I was going, but I waited a long time. I know that.
Now, do those buses, John, because it's been forever since I've been on that loop. Do any of those buses, do they all have individual buses for those three resorts, or do they share the buses? I wonder, with this circumstance, I wonder if they're going to share the bus to go to Epcot, like go to the Poly and the Contemporary.
No, I don't think so. I think they're all individual buses going to the different parks.
Yeah, because I'm not sure, because I know Dennis gets pissed off because the Boardwalk and the On Beach Club and the Swan and Dolphin share buses, which is ridiculous.
We use the bus at the Poly to go to Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom, and it was just a bus just specifically for the Polynesian. So.
Okay, but it just, like Dennis said, I know Dennis, when he jumped out about that, was saying that he don't think the Swan and Dolphin should be on it, but I really don't. I mean, to make Dennis's point, I agree with him. But I don't think it's because it's a Swan and Dolphin. I just don't think the money you're paying for those three resorts, you shouldn't have to share a bus with the other two.
Right. They should have their own bus, just like the other resorts. And, again, we covered that to the umpteenth degree, but we agree for different reasons, I guess, is how we'll leave that.
Exactly. But no, I hope they do something for these guests, because if it's just popping up and you're going in a couple weeks there and then you're finding out you're not having the monorail to Epcot, that's sad. Especially now with Flower and Garden going on.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's, a lot of, as we said, the attendance in the parks is the highest it's ever been. And, we're going to read another story later on about some alternate modes of transportation. And, I think in general, to your point from, 6 months ago or whatever, they recognize that the on-property transportation, whether you want to complain about the buses or what have you, it's lacking and they got to do something. And they're trying to figure it out. And it's just... they're stressed to the max. They just, these things are breaking down, and as we know, the monorail doesn't service all of the all of the parks, and it doesn't go certain places, and even the boats are getting stressed for that matter. So you just have all these people, and it's not adequate to get everyone where they need to go when they need to be there. So we're going to see, I think, the next handful of years, the transportation system just enhanced by more of the same vehicles and alternate modes of transportation, as we'll talk about in a little bit.
Well, speaking of attendance levels, did you guys see what this weekend is out at Walt Disney World? It's Cheer Weekend. There was 900 teams of what, 10, 15, 20 girls each, and most of them are staying at the All-Stars. There was a picture of the buses waiting to get into the All-Stars yesterday. It was 30 or 40 buses in a row just waiting to unload, so... No, thank you.
No. Well, it shows that they do have the buses. They just choose not to use them all the time. Is it day 30?
Those are I think from schools and stuff. So, but just the buses to unload all of them coming in. So.
No, yeah. I hear you. I mean, like I said, if they have that many buses, they should be dispersing them more than just when the kids are in. All right, Dan. So next story, please, before we get back to transportation again. I'll take a breath and a drink while you talk about the next one.
Yeah. So your very own Banshee is a must-have gift from Pandora. And there's going to be a lot of these. Every new land needs a must-have piece of merchandise. And at Pandora World of Avatar, it's your very own Banshee. The official Disney Parks blog has shared photos of Wind Traders. That's the main shop over in Pandora, where there is a dedicated space for Banshees, the Rookery, a naturalist from Alpha Centauri Expeditions is on hand to assist with choosing a Banshee from 10 different styles. The Banshee includes three ranges of motion, mouth, head, and wings, all controlled by hand. You will also hear them make authentic Banshee sounds. Oh, so this will be cool when you're sitting in Tiffin's out there on the, what's the bar over there at Tiffin's? I forget the name. But anyways, you'll be able to hear these Banshee screams from across the park. a separate perch is available to display your Banshee, or you can opt to have him or her take a seat on your shoulder. We love bringing to life stories from our attractions through creative and innovation product designs, explained Cody Hampton from Disney Parks Merchandise. Banshees are an important animal on Pandora, both as an animal in the ecosystem and as a cultural symbol to the Niavai. Disney's Animal Kingdom will also feature the Niavai River Journey Ride, where guests get a chance to cruise through Pandora Jungle. It is also part of the signature attraction, so it felt natural to feather them in as a must-have souvenir from a visit to Pandora. These banshees are fun, interactive, and continue the excitement guests will feel when experiencing Avatar Flight of Passage. We work closely with Lightstorm Entertainment when designing the banshees, continued Cody. Their colors were inspired by the banshees seen in the Avatar motion picture. Does anybody remember that movie? Come out almost 10 years ago, it seems like.
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to catch the next one. Oh, but wait. No, I guess not. So.
Their sounds make them feel as though they flew directly into Wind Traders from the attraction. Guests will determine each banshee's personality through a combination of hand movements and sounds. The mountain banshee has come to symbolize a continued commitment to the environment, said Cody. Before guests depart Wind Traders, naturalists will encourage them to make a pledge to respect and protect the world on Pandora and back home on Earth. Wind Traders opens with Pandora, the world of Avatar, on May 27th, 2017. These look pretty cool, though. I mean, I don't know that I'll buy one, because if I do, I'll want them all and it'll start a whole thing. But they are pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I could just see it, too. I'm sorry. I'll let you go, John. But you're sitting out at the Nomad Lounge it is, Dan.
There you go.
But I didn't want to cut you off. I do it all the time. I get yelled at for that, too. But as you're sitting out at the Nomad Lounge, I could see me surrounded by a table, two or three tables full of kids that have their banshees as I'm trying to eat my lunch. You know what I'm saying? Or have a drink.
Yeah. Well, if you have a couple golden monkeys, you'll be seeing banshees anyway. So
exactly. So are you
gonna
say, John?
Don't you think they're cool as a collectible? I mean, you know, I know you're trying to stay away from that stuff, but I noticed it didn't mention price. But what are you thinking? $25, $45?
Nope.
What do you think?
Nope. They're $50, and guess who has to have one for her birthday? So guess what we'll be doing. So my wife has to have one. So.
So you're planning on getting one, or you've already purchased one?
No, we're going to – what we're going to do we changed our vacation to just a couple of nights at the Poly. But on Sunday, the day before we go out there, we're just going to go out to Animal Kingdom now to – I've got fast passes for the Flight of Passage for myself, and then me and her will wait in line together for the boat journey. And speaking of that, fast passes are still available within 30 days for both of those attractions. I was kind of surprised. I was able to get fast passes. I could have chose from either one of them multiple times during the day. So looks like these attractions are going to be fast pass centric, you know, where you're able to get a lot of fast passes for them. But yeah, we're going to go out there that Sunday before, and yeah, my wife has to have one, so that's going to be her birthday present. So
the one thing I will say, you did the right thing from watching the video on both of them, and this is just me. I know nothing, as I say all the time, even though we're going to be talking about a story I might have knew something about. But anyway, the right way to go is to do the – if you can get a fast pass for either, and if you're not scared to do the Banshee ride, take the fast pass for that, because the way it looks, I think that's going to load – 1,000 times slower than what the boat ride does.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then this way, me and her can stand together waiting in line for the boat ride, because she doesn't want to ride the Banshee ride. So, you know, I'll have the fast pass for that. That way it'll only take 20, 25 minutes all together while she's doing something else instead of, you know, doing it the other way. So I think it's going to work better for us that way. So.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to hear about your ride on that. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I hope it's not too rough, because I'd like to do it at least once. I don't know. I don't even know why. I mean, have you heard anything specific as far as how intense it's going to be?
I don't think it's going to be very intense at all, but the last time she rode Soarin', she got motion sick. So, you know, I mean, so, yeah,
anticipating, yeah.
Yeah, she had an inner ear infection a couple of years ago, and it's really messed her balance up. So, yeah, so she doesn't ride much at all anymore. So.
I think it's going to be somewhere in the gray area between Soarin' and Mission Space. I think it's going to be laying in the middle. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be anywhere as crazy as they're going to have to make an orange and a green.
Right.
But yeah, but cause I think they learned our lesson, but I think it will be a little bit thrilling. I think because the way it seems like the Banshees are going to be diving off the cliff. So I think you're going to have a little exhilaration on it.
Right, and I almost think it's going to be something similar to Star Tours, you know, when you kind of dive down into the planets there and you get that sensation that you're, you know, literally going down at that sharp angle. I would anticipate the Banshees will take some of those same
Yeah, the thing is, I'm thinking
Star
is,
Tours.
Yeah, I don't think, and the crazy part is, I don't think it's going to be as bad as Star Tours as far as the motion sick, and you guys tell me if you think I'm wrong. With the way you're seeing that you're getting on this cycle-style seat, the way you're going to be holding on and locked in, it's going to be more of you're in control of it, like where you can grab, hold on. It'll feel like you're actually driving it. So, like, when I get motion sick, even in cars, it's when I'm not driving. I never get motion sick driving because you're paying attention. So I think the way it's set up, it might be better for you. It might be better against not getting motion sickness, if that sounds right.
Well, you have control, and psychologically and, you know, all that stuff, you tend not to get – I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. You're in the passenger seat, and you tend to take your eyes off the road sometime, and you can get a little motion sick. And the same thing with Star Tours, because it's a whole group of you, you're not totally focused. Sometimes you'll look at the guy in the other seat, and once you take your eyes off of it is when I get sick. Does that happen to you?
Yep, no, you're totally right. If you don't stay focused on the movie and you start drifting away, you're right. That's when your equilibrium gets knocked out of whack.
Plus, I'm not sure if the goggles that go on you, because I think it's individual, the way they're individualized, I don't think you'll even be paying attention to anything but that.
Right. You'll be in your own little world in your goggles and strapped in, like you said. So it's going to be interesting. I'm really, wanting to hear the first folks that get on that and what the reports are. And, because I think, we've covered this too ad nauseum that, Disney, I'm sure, learned its lesson from Mission Space. There's zero chance that they would, make this attraction if they even thought remotely that it could be that they would have to put a green on or an orange, or it would be so uncomfortable riding for some guests that they wouldn't want to do it. I mean, I got to believe this is going to be family friendly and most people will be fine with it. That I got to believe that was their goal. Don't you think?
Absolutely. And going to continue with your point of nauseam, I think this is show 356. We've covered almost everything in nauseam. And we're going to continue to do that. I mean, if you go on that route, we've talked about Carousel Progress in the train a gazillion times. So if you guys listen to this podcast, take a Dramamine before the show. You won't get nauseated.
Right. Right.
Next up, Danny. Real quick. They do look cool, Dan. Mm-hmm. The Banshees do look really cool, and I can't wait to hear how much your wife likes yours, John. The one she gets. Oh, I'm curious. It might be something to go in the recording studio here. Just one of them.
Yeah, I'm sure she's gonna love it. She's 45-year-old. Well, I didn't say that. A woman that's still a little girl. So I mean, just like me, I'm still a little boy. So I mean, she loves her stuffed animals. Dude. So.
Don't you remember your grandpa saying to you, I don't know if you guys did, but my grandpa, I'll never remember it. I was like 13, 14 years old or 12 years old I was, because he passed when I was not quite 13. We were riding around in the car, and I go, Pop, because he looks sore. He goes, yeah, honey, buddy, I'm sore, but he goes, my brain still thinks I'm 18. He goes, your body gets old, but your brain never does. He goes, we're always little boys at heart. He goes, why do you think I take you out and buy you these Hot Wheels and Army Men? Because I wish I could still play with them, but it would look stupid.
Exactly.
But he goes, we never grow up. He goes, we never do. He goes, that's why you need a good woman, son, because you're never going to grow up, and you need somebody to keep you in place. So, and I'll never forget that. And the older I get, I think about my grandpa saying that to me. You're always going to be a little kid at heart as a man. So,
yeah, no, it is true, because we change, our features change, but you still think of yourself as an 18-year-old, you know what I mean? Or at least I do. You don't think you change, but you do. And your body, obviously, because, we've all done something that we thought we could do or we could do at the time. And then the next day you pay for it. You say, oh, how come my side hurts, or how come this hurts? And then you think back, oh, yeah, I did that or that, you know. Well, and
the last time I raced my godson on the property, I told you guys the story. It was a couple years ago, and I was still beating the kid because I'm still pretty fast. I'm in shape. But I almost got to the finish line, and we're like neck and neck because he was only like 19 at the time. He's 21 now. And I hit a hole in the ground, and I did a dump and roll across the property. And I got up, and nothing was broke. And from that day forward, I am not racing nobody ever again.
Right, right.
It was one of our things. The whole – as he was growing up, he'd always want to race Uncle Doug, and Uncle Doug would always beat him. Because I was always – like when I played football and basketball, I was always the fastest guy on the team. I was always a fast guy. So that was my thing. Well, the point is, I'm 47 years old still thinking I'm that fast in my mind. And I was moving good. But it didn't take much to tip the apple cart. If you follow me. And I did this flip and roll and crashed. It was just ugly, dude. I wiped out across my property. I had grass stains, places there shouldn't have been grass stains. And when I stood up and nothing was broken, and the next day I woke up and, dude, I felt like I was in a train wreck. And I said to
nothing
myself,
was broken. Get your pride.
Yes, exactly. But when I seen the kid the next time, I still had to tell him I beat him because I beat him across the finish line, and that's when I wrecked. And I'm not racing no more. Little does he know I'm afraid to get hurt. I just keep telling him, nah, I won the last time out. I'm retired. I'm like Secretariat. I'm no longer
retire
running.
As a champion.
Exactly. But that's the point. You still think you could do stupid shit like that. You know? Excuse my language. But you still think you can do that stuff, and you end up getting yourself in trouble. But we little boys, we never grow up. So I'll have a banshee talking in the room here.
Let's see here. Next story. Walt Disney Imagineering is hiring a master planner principal for transportation. Following the speculation of the gondola system and the autonomous shuttles making their way to Walt Disney World, the company is looking to further strengthen its transportation planning capabilities. A recent job posting in the Disney career site is recruiting a master planner principal, transportation planner / engineer for Walt Disney Imagineering. Specifically, the position is for creating and collaboratively managing a long-term transportation planning process at Walt Disney World. Its stated mission is to integrate transportation into a seamless, immersive resort experience for resort guests while still delivering a fiscally responsible and sustainable system. I'm not going to read the full job posting, but they're looking for somebody to do exactly what I just said. Some of the responsibilities for the position will be to lead a cross-functional interdisciplinary team asked to develop and deliver on strategic planning initiatives, long-term goals, as well as short-range tactical projects. Participation on the management of the Walt Disney World Transportation Master Plan Steering Committee, direction and supervision of the development of the transportation modeling tools currently underway, which is the Walt Disney World sub-area demand modules, CUBE and PTV VISM. A lot of this stuff is crazy. But anyways, the gist of the article is they're just looking to enhance what they have there, like we said earlier, with the monorails and the boats and the buses, with some new technology, with some of these autonomous vehicles, which I guess don't have a driver, and they would go around along with the gondola system that they mentioned, and there may be others that we're not even aware of yet. But it's going to be a fully integrated transportation system for the, you know, for the whole resort. So it's pretty exciting.
I just applied. Yeah. I just put my resume in as we were talking.
There you go.
I don't qualify half of it, but I have been. You know, blanking and moaning. I already said one curse word, so I'm not saying any more on this show.
Yeah.
But I've been crying for this for the past couple of years about they need more transportation, and hopefully we get it, and hopefully they don't charge us for it. That we know about.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. It will be in the resort room price and all that other stuff. But
what Doug's saying is he doesn't want an extra fee for it. He just, you know, if it's part of the package, it's part of the package. Which, you know, like I always say, no matter what Walt Disney World does, we all pay for it, whether it's a new resort or they're paving the road or building a new attraction or enhancing the transportation. We all pay for it, as small as it might be, as part of our resort fees and all that stuff. But what Doug's getting at is he doesn't want to see something like the express buses where you'd literally have to pull out a 20 out of your pocket to purchase this enhanced transportation. And I think that's exactly what'll happen. It'll just be, you know, built into the tickets. But I know we've said this for years and years. I remember it was a big deal when we broke the $100 barrier for a day at the theme parks. I mean, when all this stuff gets done, when we get on the other side of the Star Wars land and Toy Story land and enhanced transportation and, I've even heard some other rumors about stuff at the Magic Kingdom. I mean, what is it going to cost to go to Walt Disney World? I mean, it's going to be ungodly. Really, I mean, what do you think a ticket's going to cost 5 years from now? It's, you know, they raise prices, what, twice a year as it is, anywhere from, 13% to, it's just... It's mind-boggling to think of what it's going to cost to go to Walt Disney World 5 years down the road.
Well, it's one of those deals that really – that we talk about in our own personal lives too. It's one of those deals where everybody else wants to make money, but none of us are allowed to make money, if you understand what I'm saying. And that's the problem. Like, you see all these resorts and high-end stuff. The prices keep going up and up and up. But all of us in middle class – you understand, we keep staying the same. So is it going to eventually outgrow us where we can't do it all the time as much as we want?
Right. You know, we see this all the time. And, you know, this is where, you know, we all get a little disappointed at Disney. I mean, even as much money as they're making, and you know, on the one hand, I get it. You can only pay a bus driver or a housekeeping person X amount of money. I take that back. They could choose to pay them whatever they want.
Exactly.
They kind of keep the prices and their justification always is, not just Disney, but any other company, that, well, that's what the market will bear. We can pay them $10.40 an hour, even though they're taking in, like you say, Doug, millions or billions more money every year, but it doesn't seem to trickle down to the guy at the bottom of the pile is what you're saying, and that's true.
And I agree with you on that, Dan. And the point I was making, I listened to a radio show where the producer's going on and on and on about how much can you actually pay a dishwasher in New York City and blah, blah, blah. And my point was, dude, what makes your job so where you're making millions of dollars? You sit there and tell people, you sit at a desk telling people what to do. Have you ever washed dishes? And some people, that's what they want to do. Some people grow up wanting to do manual labor. Like, if it wasn't for the manual labor force, the doctors wouldn't have hospitals to work in. The restaurant, the cooks, the chefs wouldn't have dishes and pans to cook out of. I mean, I don't look at anything as less than another. I just look at it as there's certain things that keeps getting pushed down, and eventually it's going to have to stop. Because what makes I've washed dishes in a restaurant and I've produced the show. I'll tell you what, it's a heck of a lot easier, even though this computer takes me some days hours and hours and hours to get this show together. I'd much rather work on this computer laptop than sitting in a restaurant washing dishes for 8 hours. You understand what I'm saying? It's like,
right,
why is that menial? If that guy wants to be the best dishwasher in the world, he should be rewarded for it, in my point, if you're a hard worker. And something has to change in that way of thinking.
And the other side of the coin is, Doug, and again, I'm just not saying I personally believe this, but I'm just putting it out there that this is the rebuttal to what you just said, would be, well, that person that's a doctor paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to school and did all this stuff and invested in his future. Wait a minute, let me finish. Mm-hmm. And invested in his future. So in his or her mind, they put in the hard work in order to get to a position in life where they can have a job that pays a higher salary, where there's nothing wrong with somebody being a dishwasher. I was a busboy too, by the way, when I started out. And, if that's all you want to do in life and you're content just doing that, you know, people would say, well, you know, we're going to pay you what we feel we can pay you or what the job represents. Now, if you want to go to school at night and try to get an education, maybe you can become a front of the line manager or something and make more money. So, again, this isn't Dennis saying that I believe this. I'm just saying that's the rebuttal to that.
But my point on that, on the other side of that argument is I did great in school. I could never be a doctor because I couldn't deal with the blood and all that stuff. I just couldn't do that. That ain't me. But my point is I started insulating attics and framing houses when I was 14, 15 years old. This is what I wanted to do in life. But if it wasn't for the contractor, where would the doctor practice at? Out in the street? I want to see a doctor build it. There's just as much that goes into building a hospital as there is in what goes on inside of it to make it safe and sound and hook up the electrical and the plumbing. I mean, there's a lot to do with it. My point is it's getting to the point where – so and on that same argument, so what makes a movie star or a doctor more valuable than a fireman? And a fireman makes half the price, which – the same thing. It takes a special person to go do that. So there's certain jobs that people decided to do that help people that if the prices keep going up and up and up, how are you going to afford to go? School teachers, they're going to start getting priced out. Yeah, I mean, it's getting to the point where – and the argument is, Dennis, every time we turn around, like we're hoping now we've been complaining that they haven't done enough with the moderate and the value resorts on property. They keep building and building and building deluxe. And now they're doing two moderates. But now we're all scared they're going to end up being deluxes anyway.
Right. Right.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, that's where the – you know, and again, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but obviously Disney would like – I mean, if they had it their way, I think they would have all deluxe resorts because they want people paying $600 a night, not $94 a night. That's a way of businesses run. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm just saying I think if they had their druthers, they would prefer that.
Yeah, well, the point is, and again, I mean, my hat's off to God bless every doctor, nurse out there, blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of other things, and anybody that helped, I mean, all those industries, I couldn't do it myself. But the point of it is there's a lot of other things that people put a lot of time and effort into doing. And it just bothers me sometimes that a fireman makes, you know, $40,000, $50,000 a year, and you'll see somebody like a movie star that don't know nothing, and they'll complain about this, that, and the other thing, and they're making millions of dollars a year for because they're a pretty face. It makes no sense.
No, Doug, how about the military? I mean, look at what a private, you know, look what a private makes in Afghanistan. I mean,
our soldiers come back and they, you know, they can't get health insurance or they can't get this and get that. I mean, it's a shame. And you're
just
right,
like
Doug.
What
I mean,
just like what your future son-in-law goes through to get his park ticket. He has to wait. He can't even do fast passes until he gets there.
Right.
I mean,
they make them feel guilty for getting a benefit that they set up for, you know, our soldiers and sailors to get when they, you know, come off of active duty. And they make them feel guilty about it. Like, you know, well, you can't get the same privileges, you know, just a regular guest calling up. You got to do this and jump through this hoop and that red tape. And, you know, it's just it is crazy. I mean, I agree with you with the teachers. I mean, you know, we entrust them to, you know, educate our children and we pay them like they're, you know, I don't know. They're just not very well compensated. It's a shame.
Yeah. And certain states like New Jersey, they are taken care of pretty well. Because we have the highest tax rate in the country, so teachers. But a lot of states, Dennis, they don't anywhere. They don't make what they deserve. But the point of it is like John just said, a military guy. Like that's the same thing. Like my brother-in-law served a couple years. John served a few years. But John, you don't get any benefits, even though you served at Disney World.
No,
you aren't
no.
Long enough. Exactly.
As a veteran,
you have to be
veteran,
active duty, right?
Yeah,
you either have to be active duty or have spent the 20 years retired to get any type of compensation. So,
and that's what cracks me up, just a veteran,
you don't get anything. So
that's what cracks me up. An NFL player that plays for 4 or 5 years will get a pension, but somebody in the Army for 4 or 5 years gets nothing. Am I wrong, John?
Yeah.
You're correct.
I mean, they play 4 or 5 years in the NFL, they make millions. You go 4 or 5 years in the Army, when you come home, you can barely afford to live.
But all three of us are guilty. We watch the NFL. I mean, you know, I mean, that's what pays right. those high salaries for the football players is because
and that's
all
right.
three
yeah.
of
and that's
us
what I was going to say. About
yeah, next fall we'll right. be watching the football game. So we're yep. as much to blame as anybody else. So, you know,
just like with the Disney stuff. And, you know, Doug always says it, you know, we're going to go. We're addicted.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. You know, we're our own worst enemies. You don't like it. Don't go. Same thing with the movie stars. Don't go see Pirates of the Caribbean.
Don't,
you don't like Johnny Depp.
I haven't seen a single one.
Don't. But millions and billions of people go, and it's their own worst enemy. I mean, if people didn't, you know, go see these things, but in droves like they do, they wouldn't get the salaries. It's just it's crazy the way the world's set up. And you're right, Doug. And the people that do the most important things, or some of the most important things, police and fire and soldiers and teachers, mm-hmm. seem to be paid at the bottom end of the scale. And those that have jobs that, you know, like you said, are a pretty face, or they have a talent to act on screen or do something like that, make sick amounts of money that they can never spend in a lifetime. And it just, you know, there should be a balance there, but there isn't, and it's frustrating.
No, I would like to see the civilians or the doctors or lawyers or nurses or whoever come on to some of these sites to see what it takes to actually build those buildings. Yeah, you understand? I mean, like, nobody can wrap their head around what everybody else does is what my point is. There's a lot of important things. Or like, we have a guy, and this is a true story, my buddy Donnie was telling me. He washed dishes. He was a finisher for us. And he washed dishes for 3 years, right? And because he washed for 3 years at this restaurant, because of the water being so hot, the doctor actually told him he burnt some of these endings in his fingers, like the something to do with all the heat. His skin, as soon as he would touch, do anything or work with like the drywall or something, the
probably
line
the
would
nerves literally, or something.
Yeah, it would burn his skin. Like his skin would keep. He had to work with surgical gloves on when he worked with us, and when he would get any dust or anything on his hands, they would get peel so easy. Like, and here when he went mm-hmm. to the doctor, finally the doctor told him that from all the years of the hot water, it ruined the lotion, like the I forget the term that they put, but know how your
natural oil that's in your
yes,
skin.
Yes, exactly. It burnt all the oils out of his skin. So he had actually quit what we were doing. Working for 3 years washing dishes actually ruined him. He was basically couldn't do his trade because of what he did as a kid. But his wow. hands would split so bad from it. But the point is, they work hard. And Dennis, you did that. You grabbed them pots and pans. Yep. How heavy are they?
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's brutal work. I mean, we tie it back to Disney. We talked about this, and like you said, Doug, probably 8 other shows, and we'll do mm-hmm. it again. Mm-hmm. The poor housekeepers at Disney, I mean, they make minimum wage or pretty much close to it. And then, yeah, but people still stiff them with tips. And, you know, I know some people say, well, I'm paying $3,000 for this package. I shouldn't have to pay extra. And I guess I understand that. I don't agree with it. But I mean, I think it's a sin when people stiff the housekeepers that work so hard, pick up your nasty stuff and wipe out your tub and the toilet you've been using, and then you just, you know, lollygag out the door to the parks and don't leave them a five or, you know, something for their efforts. I mean, it's horrible. Those people work so hard, and I try to be friendly to them. I know, mm-hmm. Doug, you've told stories. I mean, they're some of the nicest people and hardest working people you'll ever meet. And I don't know, some people just treat them like, you know, second-class citizens, which is a shame.
It's sad, and I've gone out of my way. There's been times where I forgot to leave it. Like, we ran out of the room and forgot to do it. And yep. when we got back, I remember, and I would track them down, like, go through the building, and people wonder why you do that. Well, if she changes shift, then tomorrow you leave a 10, and somebody else getting that tip. If
right.
she's not back
and
tomorrow, say tomorrow's her day off.
And she thinks you stiffed her.
Yes. Yeah. So I would track her down or find her. I've even gone as far as going to the front desk to ask who it was that did my room that day to make sure they got the tip. Because you don't know if their shift's going to change the following day. It's just wrong. I mean, you don't do that stuff. And like I said today, when I was talking to the producer when I called in, it's like, so maybe Bobby Flay or Michael Simon, because they said, how do you afford to pay a dishwasher $20 or $25 an hour? Well, maybe Bobby Flay don't drive 4 Mercedes. Maybe he drives 3 this year. And maybe instead of owning 10, like, how am I supposed to feel sorry for somebody who owns multiple restaurants, driving multiple – I mean, you're telling me you can't afford to pay a decent wage is my point. So, I don't know. Move on before this becomes a political podcast.
All right. Take that soapbox away from that, yes, man. Yeah, Typhoon Lagoon is closing for maintenance. Let's see, just for 2 days, the 15th through the 16th. It'll be back open on the 17th. Well, let's see, our Main Street Emporium covered in scrims for refurbishment. So another, some more Main Street construction. Much of the exterior is covered in scrims and more have been added since these photos were shot earlier in the week. Although the exterior is under wraps.
Look at the crowds on that picture, Dan. Look at the crowds on that picture.
The Emporium is open for business as usual. You can still spend your money there. It's just going to look a little unsightly from the outside. But I will say, and we've said in the past, Disney usually does a good job at putting up those scrims that have the building facade on them. Although these look kind of plain.
Yeah, they didn't
seeing.
Do it there.
Yeah.
There's something else right. going on because usually they just have the scrims and not the wall up. Now they have major walls up around here. There's something going on, I think, a little more than usual.
Maybe they're going to change the window units out or something to make them so they can put more merchandise in the window. I don't know, but I've never seen the Emporium under construction, so it looks interesting.
Yeah, it would be nice to just have one trip without something under construction at the Magic Kingdom.
Don't think
good
it's
luck for that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Disney's online Walt Disney World map updated to include Pandora, the world of Avatar. Disney has updated its online maps at DisneyWorld.com to include Pandora World of Avatar. The map shows the layout of the land along with its two attractions, Avatar Flight of Passage and the Niave River Journey. Also shown is the Wind Traders Shop, the Canteen, and the refreshment kiosk Pongu Pongu. You can view the full online version of the map at DisneyWorld.com. Maps on My Disney Experience app and paper editions have not yet been updated. As we all know, Pandora World of Avatar opens to guests on May 27th of this month. And, of course, Disney looking to maximize, squeeze every last penny out of a show that's going away. Wishes Farewell merchandise is available at Disney World. Wishes is nearing the conclusion of its almost 15-year run at the Magic Kingdom. And Disney has released a range of Farewell merchandise to mark the occasion. All three items are available in the Emporium on Main Street USA at the Magic Kingdom. First is a black glow-in-the-dark t-shirt available for $27.99, a Tervis brand Wishes Farewell Cup for $19.99. Those are good for iced coffee. Finally, a Wishes Farewell Baseball Cap for $24.99. So if you haven't got your fix of Wishes or you want to have a keepsake to remind you of the wonderful show that Wishes was that you saw many years ago, you can get this merchandise at least till the show runs out, and I'm sure it'll be around at least till it's gone, and, you know, pick it up if you so choose.
Yeah, I'll pass, but it's all good.
I figured you would. Let's see. 2017 Epcot Food and Wine Festival to feature a record number of marketplace kiosks. Let's see here. The Epcot International Food and Wine Festival gets bigger each year, and for 2017, it will feature a number of market kiosks. 35 kiosks will be positioned around World Showcase and Future World, up from 30 kiosks in recent years. Details are still being finalized, but an Indian marketplace will make an appearance along with Spain. The 27 International Food and Wine Festival will run from August 31st to November 13th for a total of 75 days, which is 13 more than last year.
Oh, my goodness.
It gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, food and wine year-round, basically.
Yep, so you've got, what do we have, just June, July, and August, or part of August without a festival going, and then, boom, it'll be food, wine, then it'll be the Christmas, then it'll be the art festival, and then back to food or flower and garden, so...
Mark my words, Summer Food Festival is just around the corner. I've been saying it, and it's going to happen.
Barbecue. Yep.
There's no need to close the booths for 2 months.
Yeah.
No, it's a waste of labor to do all that, Doug. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I used to, when delivering there years ago, there was a vacant lot out behind, I think it was either Italy or China, in backstage of Epcot, and you would see all the booths parked there in the away from the food and wine festival time, and it was really cool because you'd see them all just parked right next to each other, maybe getting painted or just all just standing there lonely looking, but you don't even see them brought out of the park anymore. So I never see them in backstage anymore. So.
And what were you going to say?
I do look. Yeah, no, I just said I do look forward to food and wine as much as we have been critical of it in recent years for repeating dishes and stuff like that. I still view that as one of my focal points of the year at Walt Disney World.
We're so critical. We're critical, but we love it. It's not bad critical. It's just we have to give an opinion or this show wouldn't go.
Exactly.
And Indian Spain do sound.
Yes. I mean, something a little bit different. Yeah, exactly, John. The fact they're adding 5 new ones is, you know, I'll be interested to hear what the other 3 are, but I'm looking forward to some new ones. And like we say, we still love our fillets from Canada and some dishes that we like to see back year in and year out. So we want our cake and eat it too, is what it boils down to. We want new things, but we don't want any of our favorites to go away. So we want it both ways.
Yeah, well, I don't think it would be that hard to keep the favorite on the menu and add something.
Right. I agree.
I don't think it's that hard. I mean, you know, even if, like, they do keep a few new and maybe do half the same, half different, it's just nice this year that they're going to have some different things that we want to try.
Right. And they should be able to tell by the receipts what is popular. I mean, you know, they know what dishes really, you know, sell well, and some that don't do well just go away and we never hear from them again. But you're right, they should be able to take, you know, the best one from each marketplace or what have you, and, you know, supplement that with some new stuff every year.
Oh, we'll be doing 10 shows, 15 shows minimum on food and wine this year. So.
It's way too early to talk about food and wine. That's why I'm going to go forward here. Marketplace Monday deals return for May at Disney Springs. We mentioned this a few shows back. Disney Springs is once again offering deals at select locations in the marketplace on Mondays during the month of May. Wolfgang Puck will offer a 20% discount. Enjoy your face. Enjoy $2 off a face painting. Basin, you get 10% off your entire purchase. Marketplace Co-op, Bradley Hipster for $34.99. Yeah, these are just little deals they offer on Mondays during May to kind of get people down to the springs to spend some money. And I guess it's been fairly successful because they continue doing it.
And adding things down there, so.
Yeah. Speaking of adding things, something going away, which I think this is the first casualty that I'm aware of down at the new Disney Springs. But Soundlion in the Landing at Disney Springs is now permanently closed. The store, which opened in February 2015, sold a range of headphones, earbuds, Bluetooth speakers, and accessories. A new store is already lined up to take over the space, so expect an announcement on that soon. I must say, the 2 times that I've been down there since this has been open, I never went in there. I think I bought my wife bought sunglasses in the Apex store right next door, but I didn't go in Soundlion.
That's
so
the headphone place, right?
Yeah. I guess I contributed to its demise.
Yeah, we did too. I didn't go in the earbud joint.
Right.
Yeah, but by the time I get down there, I'm already set up.
Yes. Let's see. Pandora, the World of Avatar, features Walt Disney Imagineering's latest audio automatronic figure technology, bringing a new level of movement and realism. You must have seen this video, right, Doug?
Yes, it's awesome.
Yeah, so... The Niave River Journey is a very sweet, lyrical adventure through a spectacular visual environment that just becomes more and more spectacular as you go on, explains Joe Rohde, Walt Disney Imagineering Portfolio Creative Executive. The bioluminescent activity of the plants around you unfolds in a richer and richer scenes as in really just a very uplifting, wonderful kind of journey. Your adventure begins as you enter Pandora, passing a totem woven by the Niave to celebrate the shaman's deep connection to the life force of Pandora. The totem also invites you to venture further into grottos that lead to the mystical river and an eventual encounter with the shaman.
Or
there
shaman.
Is a real edge to Shaman. Say potato, I say potato.
I was just playing with you. That's what we do on this show. Go ahead, Shaman.
There is a real edge to our Pandora, Rhodey said. Just like the rest of the animal kingdom. When guests get here, they really look around and we see there's the edge. That little adventurous edge on the land of the Ave River Journey helps complement that edge. The River Journey reed boats seat 8 on 2 rows, leaving a dock, and the Ave Warrior appears and grants passage to the human voyagers. By day or night, boats pass through the darkened bioluminescent rainforest world, pushing deep into the jungle alive with exotic glowing plants and Pandorian creatures. The 4.5-minute journey builds to an encounter with the Shaman of Songs. Like most Niave, she is nearly 10 feet tall. Music is central in Niave culture, and you'll observe the Shaman in the midst of a musical ceremony, playing an instrument and singing. Through her music, the Shaman sends positive energy into the rainforest, telling the sacred bond with nature that the Niave and the humans share. Designed and built by Walt Disney Imagineering, the Shaman of Songs figure is the most advanced and complex audio animatronic ever seen in a theme park. The Shaman is more extraordinarily than we expected, said Rhodey. Her facial expressions, little movements in the cheek, tiny movements in the eyelids, each of these carries an emotion she's capable of conveying. Ave River Journey opens with Pandora, the World of Avatar, on May 27, 2017, at Disney's Animal Kingdom. So, I mean, this is, I think you said it, Doug, somebody said it, that they were looking forward to this even more than the Banshee ride.
Yeah, I can't wait to see both, honestly. I mean, I'm like equal. I'm like neck and neck. So, okay. I mean, John, you're going to get to experience both of them before us, and we're going to be pissed about it. That's all I can say.
Yeah, well, you have to live vicariously through me, so.
Anything else there,
that's
Dan?
That's all I have.
Good?
No, I'm good, unless you guys have something you want to chuck onto the table.
Nah, we babbled quite a bit. You have anything, John?
No, I don't think so. I think we're all tied up in a bow right now.
Yeah, time to go out and do lawn work, guys. Yard work time. Sad.
Yeah.
You want to talk another hour or two on the show about we got to come up with something?
Sure.
I did mine yesterday. I spent all day out there yesterday, so I'm good.
Yeah, I got 3 days of rain, so I got the rainforest out in my yard. And it poured just now, so my tractor's going to have fun going through it. But anyway, guys, if you want a trip to Disney World, contact me or John. If you want to get a hold of John, he's also at Beer Solo and at the Weekly Pint. And maybe you'll hear victory over there one of these days, John. Also, you can follow Dennis at Oak Manor. You could head over to Bob. I wanted to cover this real quick, too, Dan. You can go over, and you too, John. I don't want to leave you out. If you want to head over to the website, did you see that John held a poll on the Downtown Disney?
Bob.
I'm sorry. I'm confusing you guys. Everybody who listens to the show knows I do that all the time. But did you see the poll that we ran this week on our website with the most popular Disney Springs new restaurants?
Yes,
I did.
I was shocked. I wasn't shocked, but did you see the results so far?
Boathouse was out to a big lead last I saw.
Yes, it was. I mean, I was shocked about by how big, but I mean, I voted for Paddlefish myself, but the Boathouse was in first. But I'll tell you what, Art Smith and the Boathouse were only separated by 2 votes, which I was shocked by.
Oh.
Yeah, see, I voted for Art Smith, too. I mean, that's the one, because I've eaten at Boathouse, and I think I'm more leaning towards going to Art Smith just because of the price point than I will be of going to Paddlefish. So.
Okay. But it was Boathouse first, Art Smith second, Marimota Asia's third, Paddlefish is fourth right now, Jock Lindsay's, Frontier Cuisina, Planet Hollywood, and then STK Steakhouse is last. So, but I was
that's
shocked.
Surprised there.
Yeah, I was shocked. Yeah, Art Smith was at the top. I mean, not that it's bad, but I was just shocked.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising that STK spent all that money and effort to get into Disney Springs, and then either they haven't done a good enough job of promoting themselves, or that's just not working out. It's just nobody seems excited about that place.
No. Well, like me and Dennis said, it seems like the attitude more than anything to me. It's not inviting.
Yeah. But I agree with you, John. They've done a horrendous job at marketing. I mean, I don't know what they could do or should do, but it is just like an afterthought down there. And, you know, we're in the know here. And, you know, on my list of 10 restaurants I want to go to next, it ain't even on the 10. And,
you know,
that's sad.
Yeah, and if you're at Disney Springs, I mean, I think that's the only steakhouse out there. So, I mean, if they promote themselves, it seems like they would do well. But it just, I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard any reviews from any podcasts. I haven't heard them reaching out to anybody to try to talk to anybody or anything. It's like they were successful in other spots and they thought they'd just show up in Disney Springs and they're going to work there just based on their name. But I don't think maybe they realized the competition that they're going to be in there.
And plus a ton of other things are remodeling and reopening and now opening. It's going to be tough for them. And I tried to eat there on the last trip, but nobody wanted to come out and wait on me.
Exactly.
So. I mean, me and my brother and my godson stood out there like three dummies. We are, but that's what we look like. It's like we're standing around like hoping somebody come out and greet us and say hello. It was like, no, we don't want you. So we moved on and we went to Marimoto's and we were very happy. And I did say Marimoto's, guys. That's what I say instead of Morimoto. It's Mary to me. I'm happy when I get there. But anyway, to continue on, you can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. You can find our buddy Bob at It's All in WDW on Twitter and on the interwebs. And you can find us all at WDW Main Street on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Podbean. Please, guys, leave us a review. Go over to iTunes. We'd really, really appreciate it. Everybody be kind to one another. We'll talk to you soon, Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a good day.
America, spread your golden wings, sail on freedom's wind, cross the sky. Great bird, with your golden dreams, flying high, flying high. Oh, oh, restless one in a world of change, keeping dreams aloft in the rain. Spirit free,
what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
I have a dream this afternoon that the brotherhood of man will become a reality in this day with this faith.
40 feet down, 2.5, picking up some dust. Four forward, drifting to the right a little. Contact light. Okay, engine stop.
We copy you down, Eagle.